It's time for the Second Funniest Podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Worsham. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 443, if my math is correct.
And it always is.
With me as
always. been a long
with
week.
With me as always is the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump, press circle button, Kevin.
Replay. And relive. Hey, I have a game I want to share with you. Okay. Hey, what games are you playing these days?
Nothing.
Really? Still? Yeah.
Well, I was going to bring my PlayStation with me, and then I'm like, you know, you're going there for your kid's birthday. We're going to be jumping around from Oh! I'm so wrong. I played NFL Blitz as a download on Xbox 360. That's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, for sure.
For me. That's, I'm so stupid. I almost said, that's NBA Jams. For those of you younger people, nope, that's an even older game.
Yeah.
But it's like an arcade football game, because I don't know if they still make them new. Mm. Like this one felt a little, oh no, it was brand new.
You said
but I don't
11,
think it has a, I don't, yeah, it still said, I think Alex Smith was a quarterback for the Niners. So yeah, it had
that's
to be pretty.
Accurate.
But anyway, it's an arcade football game for those of you that aren't into the Madden simulator. And if you complete three passes, it goes, you're on fire. And that's always like the announcer guy was always the best part of that game.
Right.
And then you had like these super like crazy animations of tackling, like you just pummel guys and shoot up into the air 20 feet and then drop them and all that
you
stuff.
Remember there was a big like NBA Streets or NFL
Jams? It was
Jams.
When NBA Jams reached its peak. It kind of resurged the arcade market.
Is that the same one that I think of where like you played as the famous stars in like street clothing in random locations?
And what it was NFL trying to own the license to that kind of game.
Right.
Because
so they did like Electronic
Arts.
On the beach and that kind of thing, yeah.
At that time, Electronic Arts and 2K, which is Sega Sports, essentially, those games like dominated football games.
Yeah.
And the NFL got got money from that, obviously, because they had the team license that stuff. And what I think NFL realized is that they could say, oh, but if we made a football game that wasn't a simulation like these, and it was like an arcade fun kid game, then we can make even more money off of our license.
We can double dip.
Our product. And so I don't even think that the same people that made the Blitz games made the NBA or the street games.
I like the look and feel of those games, but I found I could never care to complete a down.
They're like, very simple, and like if you're really into football, it gets kind of old pretty quick.
Yeah.
But it's a nice little, like, it's like a popcorn gamer, like, and easy.
Be a good
like,
Xbox Live download.
That's
game.
Exactly what it is. And we just played it, and it's like, oh, we played it for 20 minutes. Like, that. We had a lot of fun, and you trash talk, and then it's over.
That's fun.
You're not going to play a season or anything.
Right.
Because
they
did try and do a thing for a while, and I think it was just after, I think EA had locked down the rights to NFL. Like, they had exclusive, so Sega had no way of.
Yeah,
so
I remember
Sega
that.
Had Jonathan. Lawrence Taylor, I don't even know where I got Jonathan
Taylor Thomas.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was?
Yeah.
But, they had Lawrence Taylor, and he was like, and it was like, it had almost like a WWE meets football
kind of thing.
There was guys that had drug problems, and it was the dark side, the seedy underbelly of the NFL.
And this is why we keep coming back to this.
We call it Canadian football.
Why we need to bring back the MILF, I think it is, the Monster League Football. Mutant League Football.
Yeah.
The original MILFs.
Yeah.
Somebody, why is this game not bad? Because what I liked and appealed to me in the NFL Blitz was being able to play football on where the terrain was a factor within it. And the costumes were fun and everything. Imagine the same, but like, wouldn't it be great to play football as these characters? And then a tsunami hits the beach, and you're still playing. So now the water's hard, and then a canoe comes and boom, you got to jump over the canoe. That sounds like a fun game.
Yep.
Unless you've been killed by a tsunami, then it's very touching.
And one of the most fun elements of Mutant League Football was the bomb.
Because
you would throw the bomb, but the bomb was meant to be an interception because as soon as the guy caught it, he would blow up.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want your own receiver to catch it. You would let them intercept it, and then
it's so great.
Kaboom, and then their guy would be stuck in the little hyperbolic chamber thing.
Chrono Trigger in that game, man. Yeah. It was just the best days ever.
Good days. Good times.
So the game I've been playing a couple in addition to Skylanders. I mean, it goes on. I have all 32. I finally got Sorcery. This is the game for the PS Vita that they, or the PS Move that they've been talking about since the Move was announced, where you essentially have your Move becomes a magic wand, and you go around and use the little controller nunchuck thing. You walk around the world, and then you get to fire. In fact, my wrist is still kind of sore, but you fling your wand, and it casts different spells and stuff. And it's pretty solid. And I'm glad to say that the thing that keeps it engaging is the fact that there is somewhat of a story within it. I'm two levels deep in it. In the first one, you go into this underground, monstrous, tomb-like other world and fight a banshee. And then come out, and you see that the town has been under siege. And what occurs to me, I'd love to go and talk to the developers, because I'm curious to know.
We can do that here.
Let's do it. Well, let's ask them if that was always the order of the levels, or if they swap them, or if they're just very clever people in development. Because it seems to me the common convention in these sort of video games, in these like fantasy world games, is to begin the game in the world where the town is under siege. So it's cottages and trucks with apples on them and all that kind of same old fare with monsters that, oh, our town's under attack. And then later is when you get to do the cool stuff, like going through tombs and fighting ghouls. And they've got these great ghosts that come at you with blades, and they have no heads and stuff. I mean, they're great models. And but that's the first level. So when you play the game, you pop it in, and within the first minute and a half of the game,
so you spend a ton of time in this tomb.
In level zero, so you get to experience like the magical world of this place, and then you go back to town, and then you're kind of invested a little more, where you're like, well, I want to defend my town, and I don't want these monsters taking it over. It's very clever game development. I'd love to know if which came first, the chicken or the egg, or if it was like some sort of egg chicken. Mm. I don't know how science works.
That's a good point.
But it's got kind of an interesting story in it. The character's a little hard to understand. I feel like he's a little forced, but I love that you can critique it in that way, or I can critique it in that way, because it means that they're trying to tell a story, and it's even showing up on the story radar, where it's like, well, the character's a little forced, and the dialogue is a little, it seems to have like a real quick turn where suddenly everything is very important, where it was kind of fun in a moment before. But I'm not super deep in the game, but for $40 and for it just being like an alternative controller game, it's a very deep game, I can tell already. It's got a lot to it.
And by what I'm picking up, that when you're saying this emphasis on story, is that it's not just about the gimmick.
No, not
like,
at all.
Like a lot of the early Kinect games felt like it was just like, hey, look, we're kicking a ball for no reason at all.
Exactly. No, I believe it's a game first, and the way you play it is through actually shooting the wand. And so I moved the couch or the TV... Coffee table.
But it's hard because you did put toffee on it.
And I thought I was going to stand there and play this game, and I was like, no, this feels like kind of a big game. I'm not doing that. So I sat on the couch.
So I made myself laugh, because you're more likely to have toffee on your coffee table than coffee.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I've been known to have a latte every day in my homemade latte machine.
But do you put it on your coffee table?
When I'm playing video games, yes.
Oh, good point. Okay.
Sup and get down!
I didn't mean to shut you down. I'm sorry. That was worthless.
But But I'm sitting there, and within no time at all, I realized that I was playing the game, swinging my arm around, sitting there moving this controller, and it was that was all irrelevant. That was just how I was playing the game. It wasn't like Rock Band, isn't this great? I'm standing up hitting these colored keys. It's, no, I'm just playing a game, and I just now realized why my chest has been sore all week. Because you get into that mode where you're like, just hit the pumpkin, and I've kind of pulled a few pectoral muscles, I think. So... solid game. I recommend it. If you got the Move, you can download it. You can get it for $40 at the store. It's pretty great.
Outstanding.
Also, I'm playing Gravity Rush. Remember last time?
Yes, you've been talking about Gravity Rush
when
for
we
a
had
while
Matt
now.
Kramer on, we wanted it to download. So here it is. I'd like to play a little bit of music from it, if I could.
Which I don't know if you know, but I can't remember, because that episode came out later.
Yeah.
But Jeremy sent us a tweet saying, it's available now. And I think he also sent a tweet when it happened. Like, hey, by the way, Kevin, there's this game, Gravity Rush, that you might
want to out at the same moment. Well, let me play a little music from Gravity Rush. Can you pull me up here?
Yeah.
Just to...
And what, you want to listen to some Gravity Rush and answer emails?
Well, I kind of have a point. The music's terrible. I haven't heard this tune yet because the music was so bad initially that I turned the music off. I could not handle it. That cat is my cat.
Okay, I was going to say, is that part of the music? Or
let me see if I can... let me get back to the main world music here. I'm on the entertainment island. It's like, I think I'm supposed to be in what is the equivalent of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
That's me changing gravity.
Yeah, this is not good.
So bad. Let me get over to the other side of the world. It's so bad.
Mm-hmm, bing, bing.
It's just the same thing. Again and again and again.
And they need some kind of, you know what I think it's about time to do right now?
What's that, Justin?
I think it's about time we change the direction of gravity of it here.
Oh, is that even possible?
It is here. Look, the floor is on the roof.
What now? How'd you even make that possible?
Well, I hit this button over here.
I've never seen an elephant cry.
That sounded like an elephant just blew up.
Let's go into the sewers here. Go back to the town. Oh, here. Yeah, okay, this is it. The music. And I don't know. I'm not Japanese. But maybe in Japan, this music is the shit. People are like, this is incredible. Okay, so this music here.
Well, they do have a virtual pop star.
Who is?
And I don't know their name, but you haven't heard of this?
No.
They have a completely computer-generated pop star.
Awesome.
That I can't remember if somebody creates the music for the pop star or if they have, like, it's part of the computer program that it synthesizes sounds and
awesome.
Everything. That, and then, so it's a hologram that's projected up on the stadium and people attend concerts to essentially watch a video game sing to them.
Oh, that's kind of...
And they cheer for it.
Nintendo, we made that, right? I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's the same but different.
So you know when you play a game and you hear the same music over and over, you begin to associate the game with the music, but it often will take a while. This song that we've heard is already looped twice. It's just the same hook.
And this
it's
is
not
in
even
the main
a very
world?
Good hook. Yeah, in the first, like, I don't know, hour of the game, this is the only music that plays again and again and again. And, you know, when you get into a battle, maybe it jumps to like, but then it immediately goes back to this. And I talk about the music being disconnected from the content of the game. This game is gorgeous.
Well, that's where they put their resources born.
Yeah, it looks like a comic book when you press pause.
It kind of sucks if you're them and they're listening and they're like, we made a great game and you're worried about the music, like... We got that off of somebody's Now 11 album.
Hire somebody. Like, how can you... I feel like it's a huge disrespect to the amount of work that they put into this game visually to have this music happen.
Feel like it's somebody sitting there going, who really cares about the music? It's something they could turn
off. Well, if they did that, they also thought, can you turn off the story? Because it sucks.
Oh, boy. Now it's going downhill.
It is like... You go into these... Here's the thing, and I don't know if it's an American... I don't play enough Japanese-born games, but I do know in Sly Cooper... that they're always very conscious of the mini-game aspect of games. Like, okay, we have this game in Sly 3 where we want you to drive a monster truck around. Okay, so what do? We want them to drive over scorpions. But then they justify everything. The red scorpions have the fuel you need. The blue scorpions will blow you up. You can only hit certain numbers. And they make it all make sense.
Yeah.
And this, you just go and they're like, so you have 2 minutes to make it through this track. Why? No reason. Just so you can develop the skill. There's no point to it all. And then you run around to places on the map because there's little bubbles that say somebody wants to talk to you here. Despite the fact that you run past hundreds of people to get there, this one guy is like, hey, I'm getting rid of this desk. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And your character's like, I need a desk. I'll carry it back to my home. Why? Because your home needs a desk. I don't know. You run to someone else.
So you have
like,
the power to shift gravity.
Yeah.
And you use that power to go antiquing.
Yes, that's exactly it. Exactly it.
Sounds like a solid
game. That being said, I haven't put this game down.
Right?
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. The world is adventurous enough with the music off and you blur through the story. It's very, very cool to shift gravity and run against walls. So, and the art style is just
It looks gorgeous.
Super unique. Super unique.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. And when you hit pause, it brings up these little cartoon menus or a comic book menu. And when you... when you go into story mode, like their cutscenes instead of like animatics talking, it turns into a comic book. Then when you tilt the screen to the side or the side, the characters move are in three dimension. So like,
oh, so you could move a camera.
You can move the camera of like inside the window of a panel of a comic strip, up, down, whatever.
So it would be like me panning, and then I would see the right side of your face or the left. Like,
and there are times where it's very dramatic, where she's like outside a door. And she's like, what's there? And then you move the PS Vita and you can see around the corner and see what's waiting for you there. So stuff like that's pretty cool. Yeah. I was like, I'd play that game by itself. But that doesn't exist. And that's Gravity,
Gravity
Rush.
Gravity Rush. Gravity Rush.
We should answer some emails.
Let's do it. Let's see. This first one says, is it okay if I like the Hunger Games? Because I have this thing where I hear an opinion different from mine and I question my place in the universe. Anyway, I look forward to Sly 4 and sorry, what were we talking about? Well, Daniel, I think
we're talking about Gravity Rush.
Yeah. I think the real issue that you have here is that not about your interest in Hunger Games, but with this thing where you hear an opinion different from yours and you question your place in the universe. That's where I think we really need to start.
There's a psychological term for that. Gosh, I can remember which one it is. Where you are completely broken by the idea that not everything aligns with your perspective. It's borderline narcissism. It's something along those that world.
When you put it in the terms you did, it sounds like douchophobia.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, or douchedrum.
What I can't imagine. Why it would crush you to learn that someone else has another opinion from you, especially if something as popular as Hunger Games. Like, for every one person you find that doesn't like it, you're going to find two that does.
Yeah.
Because it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, two people don't hear, so there's four people out there that do.
And having said that, Daniel, it's garbage. This one comes
very helpful. Thanks for calling into Dr. Mawarsham and Professor Miller.
Which, by the way, just a little behind the scenes on the Second Funniest Podcast. Kevin calls me, and I go, Mr. What do I say? I go, Mr. Miller, and he goes, Dr. Mawarsham. And then he goes, what are you up to? I said, nothing. I'm just with a patient right now. What? Like, it completely blue screened his brain. He's like, you're impatient? No, I said, I'm with a patient right now. Why are you?
I was so confused.
Why are you with the patient? I said, because you called me doctor. What? When did I call you doctor? I said, Kevin, for the past 3 years, I've answered the phone saying, Mr. Miller. And you said, Dr. Warsham. And you went,
I don't remember what I had to tell you, but whatever it was much heavier on my mind that I wasn't even paying attention to our banter. Because when you said I'm with a patient, I was like, is he, what happened in my head was, am I bothering him? He must be with a tenant, a patient. Wait, why is he with the tenant? I thought he was out of town.
Yeah.
What is happening? Wait, they wouldn't be patients.
Anyway, hey, guys, Dr. it's Worship. Matt here once again. And first and foremost, before the question, so Justin, don't click away just yet. Next email. First lesson, don't tell me what to do. No,
it's true. That's why you don't play Skylanders.
I have to say thank you. The reason is because you gave me the tips I needed, and my dad finally allowed me to get a PS3. So, yeah, I am super excited for Sly 4 even more now and all the other games I get to play. Now, the question is, what is the best startup / just plain best game for the PS3?
Infamous.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I'm like, my first thought was Portal 2, but
that's
not exclusive.
That's pretty solid. Yeah, Infamous is pretty...
Like, let's think exclusive to the PlayStation.
And for a beginner, like, that game, it still holds up.
Well, I don't think he's a beginning gamer.
No, I meant, like, brand new
first,
to PlayStation.
First
so,
move, I think, since you're a Sly fan, you get the Collector's Edition. That's step
pretty great.
One.
But he's played it before. Also, Uncharted. Is pretty fantastic. So.
Oh, that's, yeah, you go Uncharted.
But I would say Infamous, because I feel like what they did in Infamous was really unique at the time and still holds up today.
Yeah.
I mean, being whatever, 4 years later.
I kind of thought Infamous 2 was a better game, though.
Yeah, but he would do that next. I'm thinking, if the point is, he gets to go back
and
in time.
And he can go back to be greatest hits, like he pays $20 for these games.
Exactly. You can get Uncharted 1 and 2 on the same disc now, in the same collection for $40.
Yeah, I would definitely go Uncharted. All right, that was fun. This one comes to us, I think, from Connell, if I'm saying this right. Hey, Kevin, on your updated website, what games that you voiced are in the file that plays automatically?
Not many. The obviously the Sly stuff is right out of it. There's a bit from Carmelita, not from Carmelita. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? That's straight out of a game. And then a line where I say, "I'm Torrance Walker, tour guide." That's out of a Scooby-Doo game, and that's about it. Everything else was generated specifically
for your demo.
For the demo, yeah. Some of it I think is really great. One's from a Spider-Man.
All of it
game.
Is awesome.
Oh, thanks. I'm very proud of the monkey thing. I think that's pretty good. I like that one.
I don't remember the monkey thing.
He goes, "Crazy with fear and sugar."
That's
it. And somewhere else he says, like, "Oh, I wish I could swear." That's pretty fun stuff.
This one comes to us from Tyler. "Hey, I have a quick question. If I were to send you a PlayStation 2 and 3, would you both sign it? I'll also throw in one whole metallic Sharpie. We'll pay for the shipping both ways. I have a slim 160 gigabyte PS3 and a fat PS2. Is it fat as in pretty hot and tempting, is the way he spelled it. I don't care about signing your stuff. I'd just be afraid of you shipping it to us. Because this is why I want to bring this up.
Who is this? Do we know who this is?
No. Well, Tyler is what his name is.
Oh, he's not on the page a lot?
Not that I've noticed. Okay. Maybe he is.
Because somebody was talking about this on the page. And then the Skype party that we did.
Yeah.
They were asking us about
this. Vince, the PlayStation, the Xbox 360, my Red Ring of Death Xbox that we signed and sent to him, it was sent to the wrong address.
Oh.
We haven't had a chance to talk about this on the show. But so now it's lost in UPS land. So it may not get to him. I don't know.
Is that your fault?
I don't think so. Because I think it was
that's
just
unusual for UPS.
Yeah, it was really weird. And so the funny thing was that it was signed by some dude named Lucas. And I was like, "Oh, some dude named Lucas just got a free Xbox 360 signed by us." And then he probably opened up and was like, "Yeah." And then when he turned it on, it was like, "Oh."
And then he kicked
it. And then he grabbed a towel because that's the first thing he found on YouTube that he could do easily. And then heated it up for an hour and then plugged it in and went, "Oh.
Still doesn't work. Why did they send this to me? What does it mean?"
And then he took it back to UPS, which I was impressed with. They took it back to UPS, but UPS then lost it.
Wow.
And they said that it usually takes about 10 days for them to find it, and I think we're on week number 2. So I'm gonna call
that early in week 2 or late in week 2?
That's late in week 2.
I see.
So I think it's scary. That's why, to me, I mean, we'll sign it. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I would be afraid of you losing your consoles, and that's very expensive and all that jazz. Also,
yeah,
so you know, our P.O. box is just like letter size. So if you send anything bigger than a letter, then they just hold it, and if it gets sat there for too long, it gets shipped back.
And you'd go there once a month?
I try to remember to go on the way here, but if there's Round Table in my car, I smell that and I want to eat it. So I do not go to the post office.
We'll grill next time.
Yeah. This one comes to us from Vita user. "Have you ever voiced for a cartoon show, both Kevin and Justin?" I auditioned for a cartoon show, and I think I tanked it, but I had a lot of fun and thought I did a really good job. It was when I first moved to LA. I drove to somebody's house, kind of near Santa Monica. It was near the beach. It was beautiful. And then I went into, and they turned one of their rooms into like a studio.
Cool.
They had the whole, and then they showed me like little pictures of the characters, and I got to make up what I thought the voice was. And I was like, "Oh, this is so much fun. I nailed this."
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy, like in retrospect, I think the guy was like, "Okay, thanks for wasting my time." But, you?
I've never been on air as a commercial or as a video, as a cartoon character. No! Thanks for bringing it up.
All right, I'll delete their email.
I've auditioned for
On an other. Unrelated topic, you should have Eric Layton, voice of Cole McGrath in Infamous 2 on the
we
show.
We should have that guy
And do
on.
A skit where Sly Cooper and Cole McGrath meet with Justin being a third character. Listen, I don't need to be no third wheel to everybody's skits here.
That's right, you'll be the narrator. yeah, we definitely need to get that guy on here. I'll see if I can hunt him down. That's a great idea.
That's funny.
We should have both the Coles on and see how awkward it gets. Because I bet the guy who plays Cole in the first one is pissed.
Okay. Hey, I'm Helen from New York. Hi, Helen.
Hi,
I'm
Helen.
Justin from California.
Thanks.
And first thing I want to say is that I'm a huge fan of both this podcast and of the Sly Cooper video games. I cried actual tears when I found out that Sly 4 was in the works, and I'm eagerly waiting for the release of Thieves in Time, which I will ask nothing about.
All right, Helen, I like you.
And so it is, in my opinion, on par with the other three games as a whole. The music's awesome. The gameplay and graphics are fantastic. The voice acting is still as awesome as ever. You've still got it, Kevin.
Thanks.
And so does Matt. And the cartoon cutscenes are good, too. but I sort of prefer the cutscenes from the second and third games. Wow. Hope that doesn't sound mean or anything. Horribly mean. I should probably be telling my praise to Sanzuru themselves, considering they're making the games, but I don't really have any way to contact them, since my parents won't let me send fan mail. Well, luckily for you, Elena, we actually have Matt Kramer's cell phone number. So why don't you give him a call at 408-228-4911 and just say, hey, what's up, Matt? I think you're hot. I love the podcast, too, though I haven't heard every episode yet, so sorry if I ask any questions.
Neither have we.
that you've already answered. Okay, so you ever heard of Kingdom Hearts series? They're kid-friendly, and they're still so fun to play. And it really is. It really has a complicated storyline that would be a little hard to explain all at once. You heard about it at E3, right?
Yes.
Okay. What are your opinions of Jak and Daxter series from Naughty Dog? A lot of people hated the latest one since Naughty Dog hadn't developed it. Have you ever played?
Okay, wait, pause. I got so many things to say. Let's go back 8 questions ago. Funny enough, the animatics and the cutscenes in Sly 4 are
My bad. I didn't know. I didn't see a question there.
That's okay. They're actually developed by another company called Ghostbot, who does a lot of different stuff. So you should look them up. They do a lot of stuff here in LA, but they... they do all the animation for it. Obviously, Sanzuru does the computer stuff for all the in-game cartoons and stuff that are in there. But the actual like 2D animation that you're seeing in all the demos comes out of Ghostbot. And you're right, it is different. I think it looks great. I'm really blown away. I mean, it's Sly in HD, and I think it looks fantastic. I'm like, that looks like a cartoon show that I would watch. At Tuesdays at 3 p.m.
right after Ellen? Why are we watching it? Oh, I guess it's after school.
Yeah, it's after school. That was prime time.
2 questions ago.
Yep.
Or 7 questions ago. Yeah. Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I was going to say that's another game that has terrible music in it that is completely removed from the content of the game.
Weird,
that's my
because
experience.
Disney's known for good music.
But it's Kingdom Hearts, so it's like this weird Japanime character meets Mickey and Donald and Goofy, which I've never understood. I feel the same way about the Mario games, where I'm like, most of the Mario games have this like over-the-top Japanese overture to them that kind of feels like a Disney, like a karaoke Disney song. And I feel like that's what Gravity Rush had as well. But I like the concept. I think if you're an RPG hound, it's like a cool chance to hang out with your Disney faves.
What are your opinions, Jak and Daxter? I haven't played those games, but the All for One, which is, I know, is Ratchet and Clank, though, has made me feel like maybe I should be not ignoring these kinds of games.
I think you should like them.
I added the collector's the collector's edition equivalent of Ratchet and Clank, because I figure I will check that out.
Yeah, when you get it, let me know. I'd like to check that out, too. They're fun. I had the first Jak and Daxter, and I have the second Jak and Daxter. And that I found them to be pretty good. I was very impressed with that first one. And I liked the conventions they were doing at the time. You know, it was so funny back in that time of games, 10 years ago, the common convention was that your main character was characterless. So, like, they had no voice actor and they didn't talk, or in some games they were just like a black silhouette and the character was like you, but you were nobody. And the idea was that the player, for I don't know who started this convention, but the idea was the player would inject their own personality into this fill-in-the-blank slot. And that proved to be very unpopular and very confusing and emotionally detached. Because what everybody knows from watching films is that if you watch Pirates of the Caribbean, I am Jack Sparrow. Yeah. He's the hero. I get to be Jack Sparrow by watching this. So when you play a game, you want to play the character. I want to be Cole McGrath. I want to be Sly Cooper. And so you saw that in the second Jack.
Although I've
Daxter.
Often thought it would be fun to play a sidekick in a game.
I think that's a great concept for a game. And we kind of did that in the 4 All for 1. You get to play.
That's what kind of gave me the idea. I'm like, oh, this would be fun to play. Like, I would like to play Ratchet and Clank, but be Clank.
Yeah. You know? And I feel like the Wii U does that with Rayman. There's a thing where if you have the gamepad, you are the sidekick to Rayman.
Oh.
And you get to do supporting role stuff.
That's cool.
It's kind of cool.
I also want to know if you, out of random curiosity, if you've seen this video. It's some kind of like Sly and Carmelita YouTube video.
No.
So there you go. Anyway, once again, great job with this podcast, and thanks for taking the time to read this email. Sincerely, Helen.
Okay, bye.
Next email says, developer, Sly Cooper is my favorite series, but lately my friend gave me BioShock to play on his PS3. Now I'm addicted as if I was Kevin playing Skylanders. All I heard before playing BioShock, Mr. Big, and I was wondering if you can get Ken Levine, the creative director of BioShock, an interview. Yes.
Well, the fans really listen to you, and Matt.
Flag the crap out of that.
Matt said you should do this, and you said tell us who, and look at him telling us who. So
it took me about 10 minutes to do this. Took me about 30 minutes to do this podcast.
Oh, wrap around.
I used an app called Art Studio to take this mask off of Sly on my phone, and it only took me about 5 minutes. Oh, so it's just Sly without a mask. Look at that.
Well done.
That was a good show. That was good.
That was fun.
Good times. Good times were had by all, except for somebody who wasn't listening.
Yeah, if you weren't listening, you did not enjoy the show.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to buy you
if you didn't hear the show, I will buy you a car.
Yeah, nailed it. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Share your favorite episode with your friend at secondfunniestpodcast.com. Don't go to podcast. That's going to send you to some kind of...
Yeah, no, it's like...
amateur comedian bodybuilding show, which... What I want to start doing now.
Work on your Deltaroids.
You know what I'm saying. Share it on Facebook. Email it to a friend. Help us spread the word. As soon as we could get 10,000 listeners, all of a sudden, boom, this could be our job.
And here's the thing. We have 9,999.
Yeah. So you're the one.
For months now.
So for all of you that are just sitting there going, they never need me. It's not about me. Yeah, no, you're the one. You have to find one friend for us.
Yeah. Because if you're not listening, you get a car.
Yeah. and we're just waiting to find the person. Wouldn't it be great is if we got so many listeners that there was just, at that point, we could afford to buy them a car.
Yeah, we can buy them.
There was one person in the world that was not, one person in the country that was not listening to the show, and then we would be able to afford to buy
get
them a car.
If you're the last one to not listen to the show, you get a car.
Boom. Nailed it. I'll be my good friend Kevin Miller's Just Worship saying, okay, bye.